Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Cox has served three U.S. presidents and four governors and has run the state GOP since 2009. Ed Cox, always love it when you come on, even though we don't always agree. It's really important to hear your voice, and I thank you so much for being with us.
Well, it's always good to be on with you, Alan, and we always have a good discussion. I look forward to it.
Okay, so let's start with Andrew Cuomo. His closest associates at one time are on trial now, but his numbers are not falling precipitously. They have fallen somewhat. Do you really think this trial with Joe Prococo and Todd Howe and the rest of the cast of characters is going to hurt him?
We have not had a trial like this of a governor, New York governor's closest associates, in more than 100 years. So, but if you look around at other states like New Jersey, Chris Christie, a Republican governor, Cahill sometime back, or Ed Koch in New York City, none of those three were implicated, but close associates were, and that ended their political careers, essentially. And actually, the Governor Cuomo is just on about a week of the trial. His polls dropped 10%, and those polls themselves, you discounted with likely voters, you're talking job approval around 40% and falling, and disapproval is 53%, more than that, probably 55-56% among likely voters and climbing. So he's in deep trouble. If you take a look at precedents and you take a look at what's actually happening in the polls.
But on the other hand, you have to say that his people are saying, well, he's still over 50% approval, and when you're over 50%, you're in good.
Well, no. His job approval in the Siena poll, which is based on registered voters that counts upstate at 35%, and in any election, it is 40, and gubernatorial election, it's actually 47-49%, according to an expert, Bruce Gorey, who's a Democrat. In that poll, he's at 45% job approval. And you discount it with likely voters, he's down around 40% now. He's underwater on job approval. And job approval is what is closer to what people vote on than favorability, which is based a lot more on name recognition, and he is now showing up with nice puppy dogs, putting out pictures of himself with nice puppy dogs, and it's getting pretty desperate, I think, on his part, Alan.
Now, Ed Cox, nobody, knows better than you that you can't beat someone with no one, and I would submit to you, and I don't want to be, rude about this, that so far you haven't come up with such a name of a person who would do well against Andrew Cuomo.
Well, we had a race against another Cuomo in 1994.
And what 1994 was, Ed. That was a Republican sweep year.
Well, on the other hand, Mario Cuomo certainly did not have a corruption problem. Mario Cuomo at that time was certainly not running for president using New York citizens as a stepping stone to the presidency. These are peculiar problems to Andrew Cuomo's political character, and it puts him in deep trouble. The bottom line is, it was anyone but Cuomo back then, and it's anyone but Cuomo again. Now, you have to have someone who's qualified. But you can take a look at our candidates and say, hey, there are certainly some of them are very well qualified to take him on. They've taken him on an ongoing basis over a number of years. In the case of John D. Francisco as chairman of the Finance Committee of the Senate Majority, he issue after issue, he was taking on Andrew Cuomo. So we have qualified candidates who can be governor. And in the end, Andrew Cuomo, his temperament, his character, and really being the most corrupt governor of New York State in more than 100 years, in the end, he beats himself.
Well, respectfully, Ed Cox, I just don't see that John DeFrancisco, who we've interviewed on the show, and he did quite well, but I don't see him as a guy who is going to beat a guy with $30 million in the bank with a positive, you know, we can argue about the numbers, but with a generally acknowledged positive recommendation from the people who are polled. So how do you do that? And by the way, within your own party, you got a little dissonance, I keep reading in the papers, between those who want a sort of outsider on a white horse coming in without being tainted by the legislature.
When the governor is the Dark Prince, Prince in the Machiavellian sense. He lives by fear. And that's how he raises $30 million. But meanwhile, while he's putting all that pressure, pay-to-play pressure on people so that they put money in his campaign coffers, he's then giving them sole bid contracts, throwing money around so those sole bid contracts with respect to large projects that give help him in his 2014 re-election. And then some of his aides come along, well, the governor's lining his campaign coffers and I need some money. Why don't I line my personal pocket? And they get caught. They are on trial and the whole pay. It turns out that money, the $30 million, is now beginning to backfire on him. How did he collect all that? In the end, we just need to have the funds to get our message out, and we will win because he is, in fact, the most politically corrupt governor that we've had in more than 100 years. I can't see anyone from Charles Evans Hughes going way back then to an Al Smith, to an FDR, to an Averill Harriman, to a Lehman,
a lot of Democrats you're naming there.
They would never have thrown public money around the way Andrew Cuomo does for his own power and position.
There are rumblings, as long as we're talking about potential candidates, that Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, who said he wouldn't run, is being encouraged to get in there after all. What do you hope to see?
This is a very healthy process. We've got qualified candidates who are now running, who have announced, and there may be others who, in fact, are qualified. That is, they have run major counties as the county exec and are attractive candidates, and they may get in. That is a very healthy process that we're going through. And they're doing it because as they see Cuomo's polls go down, and they see the terrible things he's doing with respect to the people in New York. You know, interesting fact that the Cuomo administration does not like to talk about. But the fact is, every region of New York State over the last 12 months, according to the New York State Department of Labor, unemployment has gone up, while nationally it's going down, except for New York City, which has its own economic engine. But Governor Cuomo's policies have been so such deadening influence on the economy and jobs. Unemployment is now going up in every region of New York State except for New York City. People who take a look at really care about the people in New York State and want to undo these job-killing policies of Governor Cuomo, now they're looking and say, you know, we can get in and maybe we can win this thing and do the right thing for the people in New York State.
Let's talk about Senator Gillibrand. Obviously, holding on to the Senate is a top priority for the Republican Party. You got anybody who you think might make a decent run against Gillibrand?
Yeah, that field has really narrowed itself, and our convention is coming up very quickly for that one office because it's governed by federal rules, and that's coming up on March 2nd. And it looks pretty clear that our candidate is going to be Shell Chiavacci Farley, who is started off as a Stanford-trained engineer, worked in the finance industry here, then had her own company, And she is proving to be a very, very attractive candidate and a very good fundraiser. And I think that Gillibrand, actually, her opening shot was very good at Senator Gillibrand. She said Gillibrand started as Annie Oakley when she was an upstate New York congresswoman, and now she's Jane Fonda. And her policies have flip-flopped so much, it's proven that she's very unprincipled. And that got a pretty good laugh because it had a real truth behind it about how Gillibrand really is doing whatever is convenient for her with respect to, at this point, she's supposedly running for president. Well, she'll be lucky if she stays senator from New York State with the candidate who we have going against her.
Let's talk a little bit about Eric Schneiderman. He's taking a lot of steps to deal with the president of the United States. He sues him on several levels. Pretty popular. We call AG, attorney general, or almost governor. You know, you got anything there?
Well, he is so much West Side New York City and so political as a former senator who then became attorney general. He doesn't know how political he is. And he's really running against Donald Trump. I've been told, although I can't quite believe it, that he's got 100 different lawsuits going against Donald Trump. Well, how about paying attention to the people of New York? You've got a public integrity unit, General Schneiderman. You should use that to clean up. Why are the feds doing all the work, and why aren't you doing it? Why didn't you? You could have continued the Mueller Commission with your deputized members of that and continued the investigation. Instead, you let this anti-crime commission, as it was getting too close to Governor Cuomo's people and to people you're associated with, General Schneiderman, you should have kept that corruption investigation going forward. And he didn't do it.
It's an interesting point because they did appoint that commission together, and it's unclear to me. It was always unclear to me why, you know, he didn't say, "Okay, you can't do this, Andrew. We're going to keep this thing going." I happen to agree with you.
In fact, he didn't have to have Andrew's permission to do it because there were two pieces to it: the Moreland piece, which is the governor's piece, which the governor rightfully could stop, wrongfully from a point of view of corruption. He should have continued it, but it was getting too close to his closest aides, who have now been indicted, some of them. But the Attorney General, Schneiderman, had his own piece of that, which was under his public integrity unit by reference, and he could have continued that and said, "Governor, you go your way. You want to finish your part. I disagree with that. I think it's the wrong thing to do. I'm going to go ahead with the investigation with my piece of the Moreland Commission."
Well, I don't think he can lose. I don't think Gillibrand can lose, to be honest with you, and I suspect that the governor can't lose. But assuming that we have differences on this, who you got to run against Schneiderman?
There's getting to be more and more interest among the really superb lawyers who have a great background as far as legal education and also with respect to, in private practice, what they have done with investigation and other things, who are real lawyers and who would campaign for the job as being real lawyers who will not do will ignore the politics and do what's necessary to eradicate corruption in government without fear or favor in New York State.
Well, and, in 1994, Ed, you elected Vacco as the Attorney General. There was a Republican. He didn't do much to distinguish himself.
Actually, he ran a pretty good office, a very professional office. And he was the U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York.
Of course.
And I was chairman of his campaign, in fact, in 94. And watching him and what he did, when you run a professional office, you don't necessarily get big headlines, Alan. You do your job as attorney general, and, you know, whether it's as Lefkowitz or Bob Abrams, mm-hmm. Or Dennis Vacco, you do your job as Attorney General and get it done and do it right. And that's what you're supposed to do rather than just chalk up big headlines by suing corporations just to get a big headline. Oh, we're suing ExxonMobil, or oh, we're going to sue, you name the corporation, these big bad corporations, some of which happen to be in New York, and you're encouraging them not to do business in New York, just to get a headline. And I think we're going to have a very professional candidate going against Schneiderman, and the contrast will really be startling.
Okay, let's go to guns. Obviously, guns are huge in the United States right now. The Republicans are pictured as being the pro-gun people. I'm wondering whether that's true, and whether there's something, considering the fact that these heinous attacks keep going on, whether there's anything that can be done in the Congress or by the president. So far, looks like he's a phony to me.
Well, you start with the Constitution, with the Second Amendment as interpreted by the Supreme Court over and over again, basically is pro-gun if you want. So you have to work within that context. If you're talking about the most recent terrible tragedy in Florida or what happened in Las Vegas, there are things that can be done then. Automatic weapons have been banned for years, and the bump stock in essence turns a non-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon, and the president just said that he's going to act actually unilaterally to go ahead and do it through the Justice Department to ban the bump stocks.
So why should we believe him about it?
Inner city, let me tell you, the real problem in inner cities, this is where most of the deaths by guns take place, and it's handguns. I have to go back to President Nixon, who pushed, let's get rid of the Saturday night specials, they call them then, handguns, and he actually proposed laws to ban those handguns, and most cities in the end have adopted laws to that effect. The question is, prosecutors don't enforce those laws. They will let people plead to lesser charges, and they will drop the gun charge, which is a serious charge. If prosecutors really in inner cities would enforce those gun laws that are on the books to the utmost extent, you would find that there would be a lot more deaths by handguns in the inner cities, which is the overwhelming number of murders done by guns.
Ed Cox, I want to take, I've got a couple more questions, so don't take more than a minute or two on each of these, okay? What do you think of Governor Cuomo's budget proposal and the $4 billion spending shortfall?
We have a debt problem in this country, and we have a deficit problem. And when the economy is only growing at 2% or so, as it has less than 2% in some years, a little bit more over during the Obama administration, the key to solving the deficit and the debt problem is growth. And to have growth, you need to cut taxes, and you need to make sure capital comes from abroad to the United States. To do that, the Republicans had to do some things that were unpopular, such as lower the corporate tax rate so it's competitive with other countries, and to in fact give a change the tax system for earnings abroad by corporations so it would come back. The result has been spectacular. The law was very unpopular when passed, the tax cuts. And in the end, people are saying, oh, my paycheck's going up. My golly, the economy is now growing at near 3%. Jobs are more plentiful. My wages are going up generally because the job market's getting tighter. All those things are happening. And in the end, that means more tax revenue, and that means a lower deficit, and even surplus, we can get rid of the and start paying down national debt, as we did during the 90s.
I can't but help tell you that I haven't heard 3%, near 3%, number one.
Oh, yeah. No. For the second and third quarters of last year, we grew at over 3%. I think in the third quarter it was around 3.5%.
So let's see what it all comes out with. And also, Ed, let's see what happens when these people who like another couple of bucks in their paycheck have to realize that they can't deduct on Long Island. They have a little shack and they're paying $25,000 in taxes and they can't deduct that. Because of your president.
I'm glad you raised that, Alan, because Governor Cuomo has been shouting and screaming, oh, pillage, rape, and missile aimed at New York. The fact is that 90 to 95% of New Yorkers will have a benefit from the tax cuts. I put that to one of his budget representatives in a conversation, and they refused to recognize it. When you ask what percentage of New Yorkers will in fact benefit from the federal tax cuts, and they said, oh, we don't want to talk about that. In essence, they refused to, because it's 90 to 95%, and that's why the tax reform. A bill that was passed, or Republican tax reform, is getting more and more popular daily as people open their paychecks and say, hey, I'm doing better than I did last year, simply because of those tax cuts. And that's happening here in New York State now.
Now, you know that the governor has said that he's going after the Republican members of Congress, most of them. And are they worried? I mean, you got Claudia Tenney in New York 22nd. You got Faso in 19, Stefanik in 21. And people are lining up to run against them. What are your expectations?
Look, any president, midterm, first term, history shows the president's party in the House of Representatives going to lose seats, whether Democrat or Republican. So the odds are that we will lose seats, and we have, because they are judicially drawn, we picked up, we went from 2 to 9 Republican members of Congress here in New York State over the last 8 years. They are fair fight districts, though, so they are at risk, but we're going to fight and we're going to hold on to them because we have very good members of Congress who have represented their districts well. So, yes, a lot of people are lining up, but at the moment, our members are of such quality, I think we will hold on to just about all of our seats.
But both you and I know that Trump, the president, is terribly unpopular in New York. How do you get around that?
In the districts that we hold, in fact, in the presidential year, in 2016, Trump was at the top of the ticket. And the fact is, for the first time since 1984, we held on to all of our the Republican presidential seats, congressional seats in New York State. And in most of those districts, he was helpful to us.
Okay, let me stop you there because we only got 2 minutes. How is the state Senate races going? I mean, you have control of the state Senate. Are you expecting to continue to control it?
We're in fact, there are some empty seats that are coming up, which are a Democratic seat in Westchester that I think we got a great candidate. She ran last time. She lost against an incumbent who is now the county exec, Westchester County, but she was very impressive. I think we will pick up a seat or two for the state Senate in the upcoming elections.
And how about all those Democrats, the so-called traitors, who were making common cause with the Republicans and keeping them in control? Do you have any expectation that they'll stay with it?
Those are independent Democrats. And
you don't like the word traitors. Okay, go ahead.
More at the Republican side. By the way, just when you asked about Governor Cuomo campaigning against our congressional members of Congress, I'd love it. Nancy Pelosi was standing right next to him when he made that announcement, and she is the best person we can campaign. You do not want her to be Speaker again. She was a disaster when she was Speaker.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend Ed Cox, who is the chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, I don't know why you keep coming back and taking my abuse, but I very much appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I always enjoy our discussions very much.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.